Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. A new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na 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 na. We gotta change it, girl. Just you and me.
Breaking up with Linda Michelle.
Ah, you ready, girl?
Michelle, Michelle, Michelle.
Yeah.
Ooh,
ooh,
ooh. Breaking
we
up.
We share and care with love all through the land. We educate, communicate, and collaborate. Showing others how to live. We care.
Well, good evening out there. It is Tele Tuesday. Yes, we got some things to tell you. Miss Stephanie Haynes will be with us this week, and she's going to continue her series with Love Language. It's all about the love out there. And we want to put prayers out there for the fires that are happening, the wind damage that has been caused, you know, damaged homes, damaged cars, and the small Cessna crash that happened in San Diego yesterday, burning homes and taking the lives of others. It's just so much going on out here. We have to do so many things to keep ourselves in balance to do what we have to do. You know, life is lived by being bold and daring. People tend to grow fearful when they taste failure, face a daunting challenge, or fall ill. Yet, that is precisely the time to become even bolder. Those who are victors at heart are the greatest of all champions. So we have to be full champions out here. We have to look, try to keep our balance, body, mind, and spirit the best way that we can to observe and help others do the same thing. It is Tell It Tuesday, and I just wanted to tell it to you. It's all about love out here. It's all about taking care of one another, appreciating your life so therefore you can appreciate others' lives, understanding your value, and let others know their value, and just continue to move forward, support, and assist. And before Ms. Haynes come on to finish up this series about this love language, I just want to play this for you. Welcome in to Waking Up with Linda McShann and Stephanie Haynes.
Let me see you move.
Love never felt so fine. Get a shot.
That's right. Love never felt so good. And we have Miss Stephanie Haynes on with us to keep talking about this love language. There's a lot of different parts to that. And get your pads and your pencils out. Stephanie Haynes, are you here to care and share with us this evening?
Yes, good evening, Linda. How are you?
I'm wonderful, and thank you, thank you. We all are so happy that you're feeling better. We know you were had a little bout last week, and you weren't with us, but, you know, things happen. I'm so glad to hear your voice. I know you had a wonderful week, and you're strong, and you're joyful, and I just see that beautiful smile. So on that note, I'm going to say appreciation, appreciation to you, and I'm going to sit over here and get my pencil and pads ready.
All right. So good evening, listeners. So last week we talked about the receiving gift. So the five love language, I'm going to repeat them once again. It's the words of affirmation, quality time, receiving gifts, the act of service, and physical touch. So tonight we're going to talk about the act of service. So this is the fourth love language. So I'm going to, you know, tell a little story, give you a little scenario of what the act of service is. So Michelle, she sat in the living room, pecking away at the laptop. She could hear sounds from the utility room where her husband, Brad, was catching up with a pile of laundry. She smiled to herself. In recent days, Brad had cleaned the condo, fixed supper, and ran the errands, all because Michelle was in the midst of working on her thesis for grad school. It made her feel content and loved. Now, Michelle's primary love language was what I call act of service. By act of services, I mean doing things you know your spouse would like you to do. You seek to please her by serving her, to express your love for her by doing things for her. So it was with Doug and Kate. Now, we talked about Doug and Kate last week, the week before last. Now, such actions as cooking a meal, setting a table, emptying the dishwasher, vacuuming, changing the baby diaper, picking up a prescription, keeping the car in operation conditions, paying the bills, trimming the shrubs, walking the dog, and dealing with the landlord. Now, all insurance companies are all acts of services. Now, they require thought, planning time, effort, and energy. If done with a positive spirit, there are indeed expression of love. And they don't necessarily require a lot of time. One man always dreads the chores of bringing the garbage cans from the curb at the end of a long work week. Now, all he wanted to do was go directly in the house, kick off his shoes, and relax. But some nights was different. Now, as I turned down our sheet and scanned the horizon for the top cans, there were nowhere to be found. Now, his wife had already had taken them into the garage. Now, the empty curb was a clear message to me. I was thinking of you. You were with me even when you were gone. Now, this is a conversation in a mill town. Now, I discovered the impact of acts of service in the little village of China. Now, this is China Grove, North Carolina. Now, China Grove sits in the central North Carolina, originally nestled in the chineberry trees, not far from the Andy Griffith legendary Mayberry. Remember that show? Now, at the time of this story, the China Grove was a textile town where a population of 1,500. I had been away for more than 10 years studying anthropology psychology, and theology. Now, I was making my semi-annual visit to keep in touch with my roots. Almost everyone I knew except Dr. Chan and Dr. Smith worked in the mill. Now, Dr. Chan was the medical doctor, and Dr. Smith was the dentist. And, of course, there was the preacher Blackburn, where was the pastor of the church. For most couples in China Room, life centered on work and church. The conversation at the mill focused on the superintendent, the last decision, and how it affected their jobs in particular. Now, the services at church focused mainly on anticipation, joy of heaven. Now, in that pristine American setting, I discovered love language number four. I was standing under a China berry tree after church on Sunday when a young couple approached me. I didn't recognize either of them. I assumed they had grown up while I was away, introducing himself. Dave said, "I hear you been studying counseling." I smiled and said, "Well, a little bit." "I have a question," he said. "Can a couple make it in marriage if they disagree on everything?" It was one of those theoretical questions that I knew had a personal root. I went right to the point. "Now, how long have you been married?" 2 years, he responded. "And we don't agree on anything. Give me some example," I said. "Well, for one thing, Mary doesn't like me to go hunting. I work all week in the mill, and I like to go hunting on Saturdays. Not every Saturday, but when hunting season is in." Mary has been silent until this point, when she interjected, "When hunting season is out, he's going fishing. And besides that, he doesn't hunt just on Saturdays. He takes off from work to go hunting. Now, once or twice a year, I take off 2 or 3 days from work to go hunting in the mountains with some buddies." Dave said, irritating, "What's wrong with that? What else do you disagree on?" I asked. "Well, she wants me to go to church all the time. I don't mind going on Sunday morning, but Sunday night I like to rest. It's all right if she wants to go, but I don't think I ought to have to go." Again, Mary spoke up. "You don't really want me to go either," she said. "You fuss every time I walk out the door." I knew that things weren't supposed to be getting this hot under a shady tree in front of a church. As a young, aspiring counselor, I feared that I was getting in over my head. But having been trained to ask questions and listen, I continued. "What other things do you disagree on?" This time Mary answered. "He wants me to stay home all day and work in the house," she said. "He gets mad if I go see my mother or go shopping or something." "I don't mind her going to see her mother," he said. "But when I come home, I like to see the house cleaned up. Some weeks, she doesn't make the bed up for 3 or 4 days, and half of the time, she hasn't even started a supper. I work hard, and I like to eat when I get home. Besides, the house is a wreck," he continued. "The baby's things are all over the floor. The baby is dirty, and I don't like filth. She seems to be happy to live in a pig pen. we don't have very much, and we live in a small mill house, but at least it could be clean. Now, what's wrong with him helping me around the house? Mary asked. He acts like a husband shouldn't do anything around the house. All he wants to do is work and hunt. He expects me to do everything. Now, thinking that I had better start looking for solutions rather than praying for more disagreement, I looked at Dave and asked, Dave, when you were dating, before you got married, did you go hunting or fishing every Saturday? Pretty much. But I always got home in time to go to sleep, see her on Saturday nights, most of the time. I get home in time to wash my truck before I went to see her. I didn't like to go to see her with a dirty truck. As we continued talking, I learned that Mary had gotten married right out of high school and that during her senior year, Dave came to see her almost every night and stayed for supper. He would help me do my chores around the house and then we'll sit and talk until supper time. Dave, what did the two of you do after supper, I asked. He looked up with a sheepish smile and said, well, the regular dating stuff, you know. But if I had a school project, Mary said, he would help me with that. Sometimes we worked hours on school projects. I was in charge of the Christmas float for the senior class. He helped me for 3 weeks every afternoon. He was great. Now, I switched gears and focused on the third area of their disagreement. Now, Dave, when you were dating, did you go to church with Mary on Sunday night? Yes, I did, he said. If I didn't go to church with her, I couldn't see her that night. Her father was strict that way. I thought I was beginning to see some light, but I wasn't sure they were seeing it. I asked Mary, when you were dating Dave, what convinced you that he really loved you? What made him different from other guys you had dated? It was the way he helped me with everything, she said. None of the other guys care about all of that. He even helped me wash dishes when he had supper at our house. He was the most incredible person I ever met. But after we got married, that changed. Turning to Dave, I asked, why did you think you did all of these things for her before you was married? It just seems natural for me, he said. It's what I would want someone to do for me if she cared about me. And why do you think you stopped helping her after you married? I asked, well, I guess I expect it to be like my family. Dad worked and my mom took care of things at the house. I never saw my dad do anything around the house. Since mom stayed home, she did most of the work. She did the cooking, cleaning, washing, and ironing. I just thought that was the way it was supposed to be. Now we were getting somewhere. Dave, a moment ago, what did you hear Mary say when I asked her what really made her feel loved by you when you I was dating? he responded, helping her with things and doing things with her. So, can you understand how she could feel unloved when you stop helping her with things? He began nodding, yes. So I continued. It was a normal thing for you to follow the model of your mother and father in marriage. Almost all of us tend to do that. But your behavior towards marrying was a radical change from your courtship. The one thing that has assumed her of your love disappeared. Then I asked Mary, what did you hear Dave say when I asked, why did you do all of those things to help Mary when you were dating? Now, he said that it came naturally to him. She replied, that's right, I said. And he has also said it's what he would want someone to do for him if she loved him. Well, he was doing those things for you and with you because in his mind, that's the way anyone shows love. Once you were married and living in your own house, he had expectations of what you would do if you loved him. You would keep the house clean. You would cook and so on. In brief, you would do the things for him to express your love. When he did not see you doing those things, do you understand why he was still unloved? So Mary was nodding now too. So I continue. Now my guess is that the reason you are both so unhappy in your marriage is that neither of you is showing your love by doing the things for each other. Mary said, I think you're right. And the reason I stopped doing things for him is because I didn't like how he bossed me around. It was as if he was trying to make me be like his mother. That is, I said, no one likes to be forced to do anything. In fact, love is always freely given. Love cannot be demanded. We can request things of each other, but we must never demand anything. Now, we can request, give direction to love, but demand stop the flow of love. Now, Dave looked thoughtful. I did bounce her around. I demand, like you said, but I guess I was disappointed in her as a wife. I know I said some cruel things, and I understand how she could be upset with me. Now, I think things can be turned around rather easily as this gesture, I said. I put two notes cards out of my pocket. Now, let's try something. I want each of you to sit on the steps of the church and make a request list. Now, Dave, I want you to list three or four things that if Mary chooses to do them, would make you feel loved when you walk into the house in the afternoon. Now, if making the bed is important to you, then put that down. Mary, I want you to make a list of three or four things that you would really like to have Dave help in doing, things which, if he chooses to do them, would help you know that he loves you. Now, a big list that forced us to think concretely. Now, after 5 to 6 minutes, they handed me the list. Dave this is what Dave Smith said. Make up the bed every day. Have the baby face washed when I get home. Put her shoes in the closet before I get home. Try to have supper at least started before I get home so that we could eat within 30 to 45 minutes after I get home. Now, I read the list out loud and said to Dave, I'm understanding you to say that if Mary chooses to do these four things, you will view them as acts of love towards you. Yes, he said. Just those four things that would really make a difference in how I feel about her. Then I read Mary's list. Now she said, I wish he would wash the car every week instead of expecting me to do it. I wish he would change the baby diaper after he gets home in the afternoon, especially if I am working on supper. I wish he would vacuum the house for me once a week. I wish he would mow the lawn every week in the summer and not let it get so tall that I'm ashamed of our yard. Now I said, Mary, I am understanding you to say that if Dave chose to do those four things, you would take his actions as genuine expression of love towards you. I would, she said. Now, can you do what he says, Dave? Yes, he said. Mary, what about you? Can you do the things that Dave lists? Yes, I can. Now, in the past, it always seems like no matter what I did, it was never enough. I turned to Dave. Dave, you understand that what I am suggesting is a change from the model of marriage that your mother and your father had. Oh, my dad cut the grass and washed the car, but he didn't change the diapers or vacuum, right? Never, he said, grinning. You don't have to do those things. You understand that if you do them, however, it will be an act of love to Mary. Now Mary said, now you understand that you don't have to do these things, but if you want to express love for Dave, here are four ways that will be meaningful to him. I want to suggest that you try these for 2 months and see if they help. Now, at the end of the 2 months, you may want to add additional requests to your list and share them with each other. Now, I would not add more than one request per month. However, this really makes sense, Mary said. Thank you. Dave said, they took each other by the hand and walked towards their car. Now, I said to myself out loud, I think this is what church is all about. I think I'm going to enjoy being a counselor. I have never forgotten the insight I gained under the China berry tree. Now, what I learned from Dave and Mary. And so after years of research, I have realized what a unique situation Dave and Mary presented me. Seldom do I meet a couple who both have the same love language. In this case, act of service. But you may be wondering, then why were they having so much difficulty? The answer lies in the fact that they were speaking differently dialect. They were doing things for each other, but not the most important thing. When Mary and David, they were forced to think concretely, they easily identified their specific dialect. And when they started speaking them, their love tank became full. Now, it's easy to work at the wrong thing. A husband could spend an entire long weekend doing chores, raking leaves, preparing the lawn for winter, winding up holes and putting them away, winterizing the car, pulling holiday decorations out of the attic, cutting the logs for the fireplace, and not adding a drop of his wife's love tank. Now, on the other hand, that same husband could bring home Chinese takeout, clean the kitchen afterwards, and then put the kids to bed on his own while his wife was wiped out after a long day. Now, to fill her love tank to overflowing. Now, before we leave our mealtime, friends, I would like to make three other observations. The first one, they illustrate clearly that what we do for each other before marriage is not indications of what we will do after marriage. Now, before marriage, we are carried along by the force of the in-love obsessions. Now, after marriage, we revert to being the people we were before we fell in love. Hmm. Our actions are influenced by the model of our parents, our own personalities, our own perceptions of love, our emotions, our needs, and desires. Only one thing is certain about our behavior. It would not be the same behavior we exhibit when we were caught up in being in love. Now, that leads me to the second truth. Love is a choice and cannot be coerced. Dave and Mary was criticizing each other's behavior and getting nowhere. Once they decided to make requests of each other rather than demands, their marriage began to turn around. Now, criticism and demands tend to drive bridges. Enough criticism, some people can't take criticism. Mm-hmm. You know, especially when you're talking about, what they can and cannot do. Mm-hmm. You know, especially with some men, it's the missile of their egos, right? So you have to be very careful with criticism. Now, he may do what you want, but probably it will not be an expression of love. He might just do it to set you up, right?
True.
Yes. So you can give him guidance to love by making requests. Now, I wish you would wash the car, change the baby diaper, mow the grass, but you cannot create the will to love. Now, each of us must decide daily to love but not to love our spouse. Now, if we choose to love, then expressing it in the way in which our spouse requests will make our love more effective emotionally. There is a third truth, which only mature lovers would be able to hear. I'm going to read that again. The third truth is, which only the mature lovers will be able to hear. Now, my spouse's criticism about my behavior provide me with the clearest clue to her primary love language. People tend to criticize their spouse most loudly in the area where they themselves have the deepest emotional needs. Now, criticism is an effective way of pleading for love. Mm-hmm. If we understand that, it may help us process their criticism in a more productive manner. Now, a wife may say to her husband, after he gives her a criticism, "It sounds like that is extremely important to you. Could you explain why it is so crucial?" Criticism often needs clarification. Initiating such a conversation may eventually turn the criticism into a request rather than a demand. Mm-hmm. Now, Mary Constance's condemnation of Dave Hunting was not an expression of her hatred for the sport of hunting. She's blamed hunting as the thinking of the thing that keeps her from washing the car, vacuum the house, mowing the grass. Now, when he learns to meet her needs for love by speaking her emotional love language, she becomes free to support him in his hunting. Now, the doormat or the lover. Mm. Now, I have served him for 20 years, she said. I have waited on him hand and foot. I have been his doormat while he ignored me, mistreated me, and humiliated me in front of my friends and family. I don't hate him. I wish him no ill, but I resent him, and I no longer wish to live with him. That wife has performed acts of service for 20 years, but they have not been expressions of love. They were done out of fear, guilt, and resentment. Mm-hmm. Now, a doormat is an a doormat is an intimate object. You can wipe your feet off on it, step on it, you can kick it around, or whatever you like. It has no will of its own. It can be your servant, but not your lover. Now, when we treat our spouse as objects, we preclude the possibility of love, manipulation, by guilt. If you were a good spouse, you would do this for me. It's not the language of love. When you coerce someone to do something out of fear, you would do this or you would be sorry. It's elevating love. You don't want to be in that type of relationship when you have to do things out of fear. No person should ever be a doormat. You may allow ourselves to be used, but we are in fact creatures of emotions, thoughts, and desires. And we have the ability to make decisions and take actions. Allowing oneself to be used or manipulated by another is not an act of love. It is, in fact, an act of treason. You are allowing him or her to develop an inhuman habit. Love says, "I love you too much to let you treat me this way." It is not good for me or you. Now, learning the love language of acts of services will require some of us to reexamine our stereotypes of the roles of a husband and a wife. These have changed over the last several decades, but models from our past can linger. The different cultures have different expectations of the right way things are done in marriage. Now, today, Freddie, he was willing to break from his expectations when he realized how important it was to marry. That is necessary for all of us if our spouse's primary love language asking something of us that seemed inappropriate to our role. A willingness to examine and change stereotypes is necessary in order to express love more effectively. Now remember, there are no rewards for maintaining stereotypes, but there are tremendous benefits to meeting the emotional needs of your spouse. If your spouse's love language is act of service, then actions speak louder than words. Now let's move on to the love language number 5. All right, so before I move on to that, Miss Linda, you have any questions?
Nope, I'm over here writing. I like the doormat syndrome, and I know we're moving into number 5. And also, I don't want you to get started and we have to pull out of it. But I'm just writing criticism and why we criticize, you know, and it's because of the neglect of love. But I kind of like that doormat syndrome because nobody wants to be a doormat. No one should ever be a doormat. And as you say, I love myself too much to allow you to treat me that way. So doormats is not being a good thing. So I'm kind of keyed in. I have a lot of notes over here from the 3 observations that you got, you know, which guided you into your counseling and got lessons learned there. And on that note, I'm just taking my notes here. I'm liking everything. And we got about 12 minutes to work it, so can we take care of 5 and 12?
No, we can't. So what am I going to do? I'm not going to go into 5 because
okay. Okay.
What I'm going to do is talk about, you know, if your spouse's love language is act of service, these are some things that you can do. Okay. So get your pens and papers out.
Okay.
And there's 6 things, I think. Wait a minute. But there's 8 things that we're going to talk about.
Okay.
All right. So number 1, consider serving someone or something your spouse loves, an older relative caring attentively for a pet or favorite cause. All right? That's a service that you can do. Number 2, print note cards with the following. And this is a blank note card that you will create. You can say, today I will show my love for you by completing the sentences with a task you know your spouse would love you to do, right? Like picking up the clutter, taking old clothes in a thrift, to a thrift store, fixing something that's been broken a long time, weeding the garden, and there's some bonus points, right? It is a chore that has been put off for a long time. You know, like cleaning out the closet or cleaning out the garage.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Then number 3, ask your spouse to make a list of 10 things he or she would like for you to do during the next month. Then ask your spouse to prioritize those by numbering them 1 through 10. With 1 being the most important and 10 being the least important.
Okay.
Use this week to plan your strategy for a month of love. Now get ready to live with a happy spouse. Number four. Now while your spouse is away, get the children to help you with some acts of service for him. Now when he walks in the door, join the children in shouting, "Surprise! We love you." Then share your act of service, whatever that you have to give your spouse. Number five, this can also work when your spouse is away for a long period of time, such as in the military deployment, recruit the kids to help you with some acts of service for him, take a picture of the results and send it, or even better, show it to him via Skype. What we got now, Skype and Portal, FaceTime, yes. And then number six, if your request to your mate can come across as nag or put down, try writing them in words that would be less offensive to them. Share this revised wording with him. For example, the yard always looks so nice, and I really appreciate your work. I love to thank you in advance for mowing the lawn this week before, you know, your friends come over for dinner. Now, your husband might even respond, "Well, the lawnmower, I can't wait. Now try it and see it." You know, because sometimes, you know, the boss will come over and excuse what he can or she can't do.
Right.
Right? All right. So, number seven, if you have more money than time, hire someone to do the acts of service that neither of you want to do, such as yard work or a once-a-month deep cleaning of your home.
Mm-hmm.
Number eight, run interfere for your spouse during his or her favorite TV show or important sports event. Take care of all the phone calls, the kids, the emergency, and so on. All right, so that's number eight.
I wrote down number eight. That's like no interference there. You know, when the spouse is having their me time, their special programs, the games, the whatever. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. No interruptions.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this is very important, you know, with both spouses, you know, allow them to have space between each other. You know, and then also to respect each other's space. And I think the act of services, you know, especially when you have two individuals that may be working, and to share the load of the household and the rearing of the children. I think it's very important that everybody doesn't feel overwhelmed.
Yes. Yes. I'm in total agreement to that. It's sort of like keep a balance there. Well, you know, this act of service and these eight things that you just discussed make you have thoughts and go back on memories. And then as you were talking about splitting up the chores and things of that nature, I flash back on my sister and brother-in-law, and I guess that's why they've been together so many years, because that's the way they operate. You know, when it's game time, oh, my God, let me go out here and get him. He's out there cutting the lawn. He thought the game was coming on at 8 o'clock, but it's really coming on at 7. You know, so she's thinking of what he enjoys, you know, and she knows that that's something, yeah, I just experienced that, and I'm so glad you mentioned it because it makes a lot of sense. Well, next week, Stephanie, we're going to move into number five, and what is number five topic?
And our number five topic is physical touch.
physical touch, okay.
Yes, you know, in the physical touch, you have some partners that love to cuddle, not to be touched.
Yes.
You know, that's their love language. To know that, hey, you know, he must touch me on my shoulder, you know.
Yes.
Or kiss me on my feet.
Yes.
Or cuddle with me, you know. And a physical touch doesn't always have to be sex.
Yeah, or rub your feet with hot oil. When you've been standing on them all day, that is a great show of love, an act of service, and everything else. So that's gonna be pretty exciting. So you know what I would like to do is like put a question out there. You know, when you speak in love language, what's your favorite physical touch, and why? Oh, I'll do that. Okay. Your favorite physical touch and why, okay? And I'm going to put it out there. Well, on that note, Stephanie Haynes, again, you have made me write up about 6 pages over here and use 2 different colors of pens because I like to write in shades and hues so that I can draw my eye to it really closely. I don't like to really post out because I like for individuals to listen. But this series of this love language has been very, very interesting. So I'm going, when we started off, I was writing the 4. We had confirmation, quality time, receiving, acts of service, and what is number 5?
Physical touch.
Is the physical touch, and that's where we're going to be next week. But on that note, listeners, hopefully this has been very, very helpful. You know, Ms. Stephanie Haynes can take us many, many places and give us many, many ways to connect the dots, and we have to connect the dots out there. We are so happy to have you with us. I'm glad that everything is going in the clearance mode and that you're sharing and caring with us, because Tell It Tuesday is very, very important. And you always have something to tell us, to give us something to think about, Stephanie, and to ponder over, or that changes our mindset. And it's all about body, mind, and spirit with you. So again, this is Stephanie Haynes, the author of The Healing of the Wound and The Healing of a Man's Heart. And a lot of workshops are happening out there. Stephanie, I have that information. And we're going to say to you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, your webinar is coming. What's the next one? Briefly, let me know on the series. Is it Friday?
Oh, it's
this
Friday.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a couple of days that's happening. Tomorrow I'll be doing a reading of my The Healing of the Womb at Aziz Bookshop in actually Art Gallery. In the Park.
Okay.
Yeah, that's tomorrow evening at 6. And then Friday at Black Women's for Wellness, I'll be doing one of my 5 grown and sexy sex talks would be on this Friday. And the topic would be grumpy old men and horny old women.
Okay, please give me that information. I need to join in on that. That's the one I've been waiting on. So, that I can tune in on the webinar. I'm going to do, yes, I'd like the RSVP for that. I definitely want to hear about that. I'll be doing some work, but I can also listen. I want to check in on that. So on that note, you're going to be at Aziz tomorrow with your reading of The Healing of the Womb. And then this Friday it'll be Grumpy Old Men and Horny, what is it, Grumpy Old Men and Horny Women?
Yeah, Horny Old Women.
And honey, old women, Stephanie Haynes, we love you. That mind of yours is so creative, but the way you make us connect and think and just dig deep and go past the surface is remarkable. And we love you for that. So listeners, remember, Stephanie Haynes and the love language. It's not turning out to be what you thought it was going to turn out to be, because it has so many different divisions in it. So I'm going to play this song. Stephanie, we love you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
You're welcome. Good night.
Good night.
gladly walk across the desert with no shoes upon my feet to share with you the last bite bread I had to eat. I would swim out to save you in your sea of broken dreams. When all your hopes are sinking, let me show you what love means. Love can build a bridge between your heart and mine. Love can build a bridge. Don't you think it's time? Don't you think it's time? I would whisper love so loudly every heart could understand. But love and only love can join the tribes of man. I would give my heart's desire so that you might see. The first step is to realize that it all begins with you and me. Love can build a bridge between your heart and mine. Love can build a bridge. Don't you think it's time? Don't you think it's time?
Listeners, give us a call, 323-769-5879, and let us know what your favorite love touch is. And Stephanie's going to address that on the next show next Tuesday for Find It Out Tuesday. We love you. Enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. Again, 323-769-5879. Give us a call and let us know what your favorite touch is.
Break it up. With Linda,
Michelle.
I know you said it, girl.
Sharing care.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I won't
break
it
up. Care with love all through the land. We educate, communicate, and collaborate.
All through the land.
We give, showing others how to live.
We care with love all through the land.